Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. We're doing Acts number 2 today, Acts chapter 2. We're going to open up in prayer. I'm going to Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, Baruch Shem Kibbo, Mahuto, Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire and arise, and you and upon your gates. All righty. So, looking at Acts, the second book of Acts, and we read here. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And the first book says here, held 50 days after Passover, Pentecost was also called the Festival of the First Harvest. It was also three major annual festivals, as found in Deuteronomy 16:16. A festival of thanksgiving is called Shavuot. And this, again, is one of the important times in Yahweh's calendar and a great example of showing how even after Yeshua died on the cross, they still kept the instructions, the law, the commandments. They weren't done away with. The first century believers kept them. Verse 2 says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. In verse 2 in the One New Man Bible says, this is a temple. This is a temple. The house is frequently used in Hebrew when speaking of the temple. And here, the steps of the temple were one of a few places in Jerusalem where thousands could gather, sitting on the steps in Solomon's porch. The streets were too narrow and the houses too small for such a large crowd. Few houses would have had room that could hold over 100 people. Luke also refers to the sanctuary as the house in Luke 11:51. So, verse 3 says, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. It was about the Holy Spirit's baptizing with fire and the prophet Joel's words about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why tongues of fire? Tongues symbolize speech and the communication of the good news. Fire symbolizes Yahweh's purifying presence, which burns away and undesirable elements of our lives and sets our hearts aflame to ignite the lives of others. On Mount Sinai, Yahweh confirmed the validity of the Old Testament law or the original covenant with fire from heaven. At Pentecost, Yahweh confirmed the validity of the Holy Spirit's ministry by sending fire. At Mount Sinai, fire came down at one place. At Pentecost, fire came down on many believers, symbolizing that Yahweh's presence is available to all who believe in Him. Yahweh made His presence known to this group of believers in a spectacular way. Roaring wind, fire, and the Holy Spirit. Would you like Yahweh to reveal Himself to you in such a recognizable way? He may do so, but be wary of forcing your expectations on Yahweh. In 1 Kings 19:10-13, Elijah also needed a message from Yahweh. First came a great wind and then the earthquake and the fire and finally a fire. But Yahweh's message came in a gentle whisper. Yahweh may use dramatic methods to work in your life, or he may speak a gentle whisper. Wait patiently and always ask him to wait patiently and always listen. So these are the notes for verses 3-4. And as we continue reading here in verse 5, at the time there were devout Jewish people from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. The people are all from Galilee and yet we hear them speak in our own native languages. Now, the native languages. We are here, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, and province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and areas of Libya around the Cyrene visitors to Rome, both Jewish and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We all hear the people speaking in our language about wonderful things Yahweh has done. And now the note from 4-11 says, these people literally spoke in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability, a miraculous attention getter for the internal crowd, gathered in town for the festival. All the nationalists represented recognized their own language being spoken. More than miraculous speaking drew people's attention. However, they saw the presence and the power of the Ruach Kodesh. The apostles continued to minister in the Holy Spirit's power wherever they went. And it says here, Christianity is not limited to any race or group of people. Yeshua offers salvation to all people without regard to nationality. Visitors in Jerusalem were surprised to hear the apostles and other believers speaking in languages other than their own, but they need not have been. Yahweh works all kinds of miracles to spread the good news using many languages as he calls all kinds of people to become followers. No matter what your race, color, nationality, or language, Yahweh speaks to you. Are you listening? And then it says, why are these people mentioned? Or in verses 9-11, why are these places mentioned? This is a list of many lands from which the Jewish people have come to the festivals in Jerusalem. These Jewish people were not originally from Palestine because their ancestors had been dispersed to other parts of the world through the captives and persecutions. Very likely some of the Jewish people who responded to Peter's message returned to their homelands with Yahweh's good news of salvation. Thus, Yahweh prepared the way for the spread of the good news. As you read Acts, you will see how the way was often prepared for Paul and other messages by people who had become believers at Pentecost. The church at Rome, for example, was probably begun by such Jewish believers. So there we read up to verse 12. And in verse 9, the Wonder Woman Bible, it says, Capita, an inland region in Asia Minor, is referred to as Gamenia in Ezekiel 27:11. And then for verse 10, it says in the one in the Hebraic root scriptures, many of the people were displaced Israelites. So that's where they had come from. They were displaced Israelites. And verse 12 reads, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. And the note for verse 12 says, when the gathered crowd recognized that something supernatural was taking place, they naturally wanted an explanation. At this point, Peter stepped forward and explained the truth about Yahweh. This should be the pattern in our lives as well. Hopefully, we are living in such a way that people will see Yeshua in us. If we do shine and speak, and if we are salty, we will get the attention of others. They will surely want to know what is so attractive and different about us. Then we can explain our Christian hope. What is different about your life? What supernatural evidence would cause someone to stop and say, what can this mean? And then it says in verse 13, but the others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying they're just drunk. That's all. Verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you. Fellow Jewish people and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this." And the note says, Peter had been an unstable leader during Yeshua's ministry, letting his bravado do his downfall, even denying that he knew Yeshua. But Yeshua had forgiven and restored him. This was a new Peter, humble but bold in his confidence, came from the Holy Spirit, who made him powerful and a dramatic speaker. Have you ever felt as you've made such bad mistakes that Yahweh could never forgive you? No matter what sins you have committed, Yahweh promises to forgive you and to make useful for his kingdom, allow to forgive you and also effectively to serve him. And another note says, in 14, it says, Peter tells the people that they should listen to the testimony of the believers because the original covenant prophecies concerning Yeshua had been internally fulfilled in him. Because Yeshua is the Messiah, and because the risen Messiah could change their lives. And then we read 15 that says, these people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see is predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to exclaim what exactly that was. But first, 15 in the One New Man Bible, the note says, 9 a.m. is the hour of morning prayer, which is what it was. It was a time for morning prayer. And it says here in the notes, and well, in the readings from now, 16 to 21. In the last days, yeah, this is a quoting from the prophet Joel. In the last days, Yahweh says, my spirit will pour upon all people. You sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the noon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of Yahweh arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of Yeshua will be saved. Hallelujah. The note says not everything mentioned in Joel 28:29 was happening that particular morning. The last days include all the days between Yeshua's first and second comings, and is another way of saying from now on, the great and glorious day of Yahweh denotes the whole Christian era. Even Moses yearned for the Lord to put his spirit upon everyone. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was released throughout the entire world to men, women, slaves, Jewish people, non-Jewish people. Now everyone can receive the Spirit. This was a revolutionary thought for the first century Jewish people. So that is reading up to chapter 21, and it says here in verse 18 in the Wonder Man Bible, the note says, these are sold out to Yahweh, fully committed bond servants and priests of Yahweh. And verse 21 says, in Joel, the word is Lord, for verse 21 when we read here, and it will be that everyone who call upon the name of the Lord, and everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. 21 in the Hebraic root scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Yahweh, that's his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let me read 22. The people of Israel, listen. Yahweh publicly endorsed Yeshua, the Nazarene, by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him. As you well know, in verse 23, but Yahweh knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Yeshua was betrayed with the help of the lawless non-Jewish people. You nailed him to a cross and killed him. The note for 23 says, everything that happened to Yeshua was under Yahweh's control. His plans were never disrupted by the Roman government or the Jewish officials. This was especially comforting to those facing opposition during the time of the early Christian church. And verse 24 reads, "But Yahweh released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grasp." And the note here says, Peter spoke forthrightly about the resurrection. As Peter preached, the events of Yeshua's death and resurrection was still hot news. Less than 2 months old, Yeshua's execution had been carried out in public before many witnesses. His empty tomb was available for inspection just a short distance away. If Yeshua had not truly died, Peter's message would have been laughed at or ignored. If Yeshua had not been resurrected, authorities could have produced his body and put an end to the new faith. But Peter and the apostles had witnessed the risen Messiah. Changed men, they announced the news with great passion and conviction. Our faith and our credibility are also rest on the truth of the empty tomb. Why? For a number of important reasons. According to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection of Yeshua means that he is the Son of Yahweh and that his word can be trusted. It means that his sacrifice for sin was acceptable to Yahweh so that we can completely be forgiven. It means that our Savior is alive and active, able to help us in times of need. It also means that one day we too will conquer death. The Christian faith rests on basic fact of an empty tomb. Don't neglect essential part of the gospel when you share your faith with others. That was a note for 24. Now, for verse 25 to 32, it says, King David said this about him, "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in a grave. You have shown me the way of life and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that this patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet and knew Yahweh promised an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on the throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that Yahweh would not leave him among the dead and allow his body to rot in a grave. Now the note here for 25 to 32 says, Peter quoted from Psalm 16, 8 to 11, a psalm written by David. He explained that David was not writing about himself because David died and was buried. Instead, he was writing about a prophet who spoke of the Messiah who would be resurrected. The emptiness here is that Yeshua's body was not left to rot in the grave. Well, the emphasis here was that Yeshua's body was not left to rot in the grave, but was in fact resurrected and glorified. Yes, hallelujah. The note for 30 in the Hebraic root scripture says, there was a wordplay with the words loins and throne here that can only be recognized in hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, we continue reading here in verse 32. Yahweh raised Yeshua from the dead, and we are all witnesses to this. And the note here says, Peter quoted, well, we read that. Let's go to 33, verse 33 reads, "Now he is exalted to a place higher in honor in heaven at Yahweh's right hand, and the Father, as he promised to give him the Holy Spirit to pour upon us. And just as you've seen here today, for David himself never ascended into heaven yet, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at the place of honor in my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool on your feet." So the note here in 34 in the Hebraic root scripture says, the reward of the saved is not heaven, but eternal life in the kingdom of Yahweh on the earth. And that's from Revelation 5:10. And also what we're just reading here right in this verse for 34. And then we go to 35, which reads, "Until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that Yahweh has made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." That's for 36. And 35, it says in the One New Man Bible. Well, the 34, it says in the One New Man Bible, "The Lord said, my right hand," which is that there'll be a footstool under your feet. So now we read verse 37. "Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to others apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And 38. Peter replied, 'Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to Yahweh and be baptized in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And the note for 38 in the One New Man Bible says the immersion has been practiced by the Jewish people for over 1,000 years. And in 38 in the Hebraic root scriptures, it says, "Yahweh is a family name consisting of Yahweh the Father and Yeshua Yahweh the Son. In Matthew 28:19, the disciples are told to baptize or immerse in the name. It is a singular in the original Aramaic. When one is immersed into covenant relationship, it is done into the family name of Yahweh by the shed blood of Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh. The Fischetta clearly has the correct rendering of Yeshua Yahweh here. By showing that Yahweh is a family name, you can never come to the proper conclusion when using a Greek translation with pagan titles inserted." So that's an excellent note. Why there's so much confusion, and that is from verse 38. And then verse 39 read, "This is a promise to you and your children and those far away, all who have been called by the Lord, our Elohim." And it says here in the note for 38 to 39 in the New Living Testament, "If you want to follow Yeshua, you must repent of your sins, turn to Yahweh and be baptized in the name of Yeshua, the wonderful Messiah. To repent means to turn from sin, to change the direction of your life from selfishness and the rebellion against Yahweh's laws. At the same time, you must turn to Yeshua depending on him for forgiveness, mercy, guidance, and purpose. We cannot save ourselves. Only Yahweh can save us. Baptism identifies us with Yeshua and we with the community of believers. It is a condition of discipleship and a sign of faith." Hallelujah. And then so that's for 38 and 39. And 40 reads, "Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging his listeners, 'Save yourselves from the crooked generation.' Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper," it says, "and to pray." And verse 43, "A deep sense of awe came over them, and all the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders." And a note from 40 to 43 says about 3,000 people became new believers with Peter preaching, became new believers when Peter preached the good news about Yeshua. These new believers were united with the other believers, taught by the apostles, and included the prayer meetings and fellowship. New believers in Yeshua needed to be groups. New believers in Yeshua need to be in groups where they can learn what Yahweh's word, pray, and mature in the faith. If you have just begun a relationship with Yeshua, seek out other believers for fellowship, prayer, and teaching. This is the way to grow. And the note here for verse 40 in the One New Man Bible says, "This generation refers to every generation, including our own." And 41, it says there were so many pools for immersion at the temple that for all these to immerse would have taken about 20 minutes. And then 41, Solomon's porch, the south steps to the temple, was probably the only place in Jerusalem where anyone could preach to so many. So, and then for verse 42 in the Hebraic root script, it says, keeping the proper doctrine was taught by the elders, was extremely important in the early congregation. Also, breaking bread is an ancient phrase and simply means eating a meal together. Okay, so that's up to 43 now. Verse 44 reads, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Now, the note here says, recognizing the other believers and brothers and sisters in the family of Yahweh, the believers in Jerusalem shared all they had so that this could benefit, that all could benefit from Yahweh's gifts. It is tempting, especially if we have material wealth, to cut ourselves off from others, from one another, to concerning ourselves with only our interest and enjoying only our little place of the world. But as part of Yahweh's spiritual family, it is our responsibility to help one another in every way possible. Yahweh's family works best when its members work together. That was for verse 44. We read verse 45 that says, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with a great joy and generosity. And it says here in 46, a common misconception about the first Christians who were Jewish people was that they rejected the Jewish religion. But these believers saw Yeshua's message and resurrection as a fulfillment of everything they knew and believed from the original covenant. The Jewish believers at first did not separate themselves from the rest of the Jewish community. They still went to the temple and synagogue for worship and instruction in the scripture. But their belief in Yeshua created great friction with the Jewish people who did not believe in Yeshua the Messiah. Thus, believing Jewish people were forced to meet in private homes for communion, prayer, and teaching about Yeshua. By the end of the first century, many of these Jewish believers were excommunicated from their synagogues. Now the note in 46 in the Hebraic root scriptures says, this can only be done with a full 100% voluntary submission to Yahweh and each other, something that is sorely lacking in the Western culture today. And then finally, we close with verse 47. All and while praising Yahweh and enjoying the goodwill of the people.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry.
Been walking for a while. My feet are getting tired. My heart's a little heavy. But you keep me going. Been walking for a while, mile after mile. My soul's a little weary, but you keep me going.